The tech and product stories this week cohere around a few themes. What happens when AI capability cost drops toward commodity? What the remote work debate looks like from inside the investment community? And what the FTC's clearance of the Mesh acquisition tells us about where regulators are drawing lines on tech consolidation. We've touched on some of this, but I want to go deeper on the teacher AI adoption story from Georgia, because it's one of the most concrete data points about AI's real-world deployment that we've seen.
60% of Georgia's teachers now using AI for lesson planning is a striking adoption rate. 13,000 educators surveyed. The interesting counterpoint is that most of those teachers refuse to use AI for grading, which tells you something important about where humans are maintaining domain authority even as they delegate administrative tasks. Lesson planning is fundamentally a preparation task. You're organizing information, sequencing topics, generating activity ideas. Grading is an evaluative task that requires understanding a specific student's thinking process, identifying where understanding breaks down, and applying judgment about what partial credit means in the context of a learning objective. Teachers appear to be drawing a clear line between those two categories.
The tech industry mobilizing AI coalitions to fix open source security flaws is a story that deserves more attention than it typically gets. Open source AI infrastructure, frameworks like PyTorch, Hugging Face model repositories, integration libraries, is the connective tissue of the entire AI ecosystem. When vulnerabilities appear in that infrastructure, they're not company-specific problems. They're ecosystem-wide exposure. The coalition model, multiple companies pooling security research and coordinating disclosure, is how the software industry has historically managed this for traditional code, and it's now being applied to AI-specific vulnerabilities.
The state's challenging Meta's penalty math ahead of the August youth safety trial is a business story as much as a legal one. Meta's argument about what constitutes appropriate damages presumably involves a calculation about the number of affected minors, the duration of harm, and the per-user penalty amount. States challenging that math are essentially arguing that Meta is trying to minimize the financial exposure from what multiple state attorneys general have characterized as deliberate platform design choices that prioritized engagement over user safety. The August trial will set a precedent for how you value harm to minors in algorithmic product design cases.
The drone near miss at Newark is one of those stories that gets lost in a busy news day, but represents a genuine infrastructure governance problem. A Boeing 737 carrying 106 passengers nearly colliding with a drone on approach to Newark is not a freak occurrence. Near-miss reports involving drones near major airports have been climbing steadily as commercial drone operations expand. The FAA's rules around drone operation near airports exist, but enforcement is patchy, and the technology for real-time drone tracking in controlled airspace is still being deployed. If an airliner takes a drone strike in an engine on approach, the consequences are catastrophic. This is an area where regulation is running behind capability.
The H-2B visa delay story at the Oregon State Fair is a ground-level immigration economic story. H-2B visas are the program that brings temporary non-agricultural workers to the U.S. for seasonal jobs, carnival workers, landscapers, seafood processors. When the visa processing pipeline backs up, the businesses that depend on those workers face stark choices: cancel operations, pay above-market wages to domestic workers, or run short-staffed. An Oregon fair losing its carnival because the staffing couldn't be assembled reflects that those aren't hypothetical choices. The H-2B program has been chronically underfunded and under-resourced for processing, and the current administration's general posture on immigration has not prioritized smoothing that pathway.
And the Royal Caribbean whale story, the cruise line being urged to slow ships after a whale was killed in Alaska, is actually a significant maritime policy question embedded in an environmental story. Alaska's coastal waters are critical habitat for humpback and fin whales, and ship strike is one of the leading causes of large whale mortality. The shipping and cruise industry has historically resisted mandatory speed reductions, citing fuel efficiency and scheduling economics. When a high-profile incident creates public pressure, The question is whether the voluntary speed reduction guidelines get strengthened into mandatory rules, and the National Marine Fisheries Service has the authority to do that under the Marine Mammal Protection Act.